Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling is a live call-in radio program providing doctrinal dialogue, cultural commentary, and insightful interviews with some of today's foremost Christian authors and leaders. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Travelers Rest. The goal of the church and the radio program is to seek the glory of God in the salvation of sinners and the sanctification of the saints by the ministry of the Word. For more information, go to www.knowingthetruth.org. Here with today's edition of Knowing the Truth is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome into this edition of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. This is Pastor Kevin Bowling. So glad that you joined us on the broadcast today. We're going to talk about two important issues that are facing our society and our culture today, and certainly issues that Christians need to know how to think about and think about in a biblical way. The first issue that we're going to talk about today relates to religious freedom. And we're going to go across the border to look at this one a little bit. This is taking place in Canada. And so we're going to talk with J.C. Derrick from World Magazine about what's taking place at Trinity Western University in Canada and how that relates to what's taking place here in the U.S. Secondly, on the broadcast today at the bottom of the hour, we'll be talking about the issue of depression, about PTSD, about bipolar. You know, I think they used to refer to that as manic depressive. It's now spoken of as being bipolar. And we saw just yesterday, this again was in the news at the, just reading a news item here not that long ago, saw that a Wakefield man arrested near the finish line of the Boston Marathon last night suffers from bipolar disorder and was off his meds when he allegedly created panic on a one-year anniversary of a deadly terrorist bombing, his shaken mother told the Boston Herald. And so we're going to talk about that issue, the idea of bipolar from a biblical perspective. How should we think about that issue of bipolar? We'll be joined by Dr. Charles Hodge, who's actually going to be in the area here. I'll let you know when that's going to be on the second half of the program today. But very shortly, he's going to be in the area here giving a conference or a seminar on that particular topic. We'll talk about that in a few moments. First up, J.C. Derrick. J.C., welcome back to the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast.
Thank you, Kevin. It's great to be here.
What's going on in Canada, eh?
Oh, my goodness. Well, your listeners may remember that we actually discussed this last year. It's been an ongoing issue for quite some time. But for those who may not remember, I'll just start with some background. In 2012, Trinity Western University, which is the largest Christian university in Canada, located outside of Vancouver, British Columbia on the west coast, so just a little bit north of Washington State.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's the largest Christian university in Canada, and they applied for the accreditation to become to start a law school. It's a little different in Canada. In the U.S., you start a law school and then show you're worthy and get accredited. In Canada, you have to get the accreditation before you actually start the law school.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what they were doing, and you know, they had been planning for several years, and you know, didn't seem too controversial, except for the fact that Trinity Western requires all their students to sign a community covenant, which is about 1,900 words. I read it. You know, it has a lot of non-controversial moral things that most Christians wouldn't blink an eye at. But they do ask that people who are going to come to school there will abstain from alcohol, foul language, you know, some things like that.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, while they're students, they just agree they won't do those things. But also, they have a sentence in there that says, and again, all employees and students have to sign this community covenant, which says that it requires everyone to abstain from, quote, sexual intimacy that violates the sacredness of marriage between a man and a woman.
Mm.
So obviously this pertains mostly to sex outside of marriage, but since gay marriage is legal in Canada, it also could, hypothetically speaking, apply to a married gay couple if one or both were to go to school at this Trinity Western University there in Langley, British Columbia.
Mm-hmm.
So bringing us up to speed now, last December, the Trinity Western got the two main approvals that it needed for its law school, the Federation of Law Societies of Canada gave its approval, and then that same week, the Emmerich Virk, the Minister of Advanced Education of British Columbia, also gave approval for the law school to be started. So there had been tons of debate. You would think, oh, it's over, but this week we learned it's not over.
Mm-hmm.
On Friday, the Federation has is a national body, the Federation of Law Societies, and so they gave it their approval. But each of their provincial bodies have basically veto power. So if they want to veto accreditation or approval for a specific entity, then they can. And last Friday, the British Columbia the official name would be the Law Society of British Columbia, voted 20-6 overwhelmingly to approve the law school. And that was really the final, it was the final approval. I spoke with some people at the Trinity Western, and they said, they're going to move forward with the building and so on. That's the last thing they needed. But people in the gay rights community don't want to let it go.
Mm-hmm.
And this week, now we've got a lawsuit that's been filed against the not Trinity Western itself, but against the Advanced Education, the Minister of Advanced Education in British Columbia, and because a young man who is gay and says he's a Christian and wants to attend school at the potential law school, and which won't open for a couple of years, he said that he's basically excluded from the school because of his lifestyle, and therefore, it's basically unconstitutional, and so that's why he's suing the Administrator of Advanced Education.
Hmm. One of the comments on your article, your first article, and I should tell our listening audience, we're talking about two different articles that are out right now on worldmag.com, www.worldmag.com. One article talks about the initial story, Canadian Law Society backs schools' religious freedom. And so the subtitle for it has Religious Liberty, Country's First Christian Law School Moves Closer to a Reality. And then secondly, and this one's just coming out now, but this one talks about the idea that gay activists sue over decision to allow Christian law school, and that one was just posted yesterday. J.C. Derrick is the author of both of those articles, and you can read them both out there at www.worldmag.com. On one of the comments on the first article that I mentioned, at the end of the article, there's a space there for people to comment on it. And one of your listeners or audience readers said this. He said, good news that they have done this. But it is very unfortunate, however, that a private Christian college has to rely on civil government for approval for its programs, a true blurring of sovereign spheres and a violation of God's design for a godly society. So he's questioning, the whole idea of, why is a Christian college trying to seek that type of accreditation anyways? And I would add to it, that's one question, but I would say surely they saw coming, the opposition, especially in Canada, where, it's considered to be hate speech if you speak out against homosexuality. It's the law of the land there. They've accepted homosexual marriage full-blown, across the board. You would just think that they're not so naive not to expect that there was going to be a lot of controversy over this. How would you address that?
Well, two big questions. First of all, I would just say that in terms of the accreditation, it's really like any Christian school in the U.S. would want accreditation for the degrees that they grant.
Right.
So, you don't want, Joe Blow in his little shed out back to be giving out degrees.
Especially law degrees, right? I think they've been doing that already here. No, just kidding.
Yeah. so Trinity Western is a very respected university, and so they want their degrees to be valuable. And so obviously, you know, if you're turning out law students, you want those law students to be, you know, accredited, licensed to be able to practice law.
Right.
And if the provinces won't recognize your graduates, then your law school is you know, it's doomed to fail. And that applies to anything in the U.S. as well in terms of, you know, getting the accreditation. And this is an issue that part of the reason this is such a big issue, even here in the U.S., is because accrediting bodies, even here in the U.S., are beginning to look at Christian universities a little bit sideways, as in, you know, how do you hire only Christians, and you know, and you don't have enough diversity, and yet we're supposed to say you have as good an education, you know, credit you in the same way that we do, you know, the secular schools. So there's really a fight here in the U.S. as well to say that, yes, we can provide education from a uniquely Christian perspective and still be educationally, you know, academically excellent and have, you know, really, unfortunately, it's kind of a necessary approval for you know, for students to graduate and be recognized as college graduates, or in this case, law school graduates, and to, you know, practice in the field in a secular society. This, to your second point, what's really interesting is that while we do live in a day and age where, yes, this would be, you know, okay, maybe you know, the right to disagree on gay marriage is a little bit, you know, it's unaccepted in some sectors these days of society. However, Trinity Western makes the point that this really has already been litigated once, and in what happened was, in the mid-1990s, Trinity Western wanted to begin an accredited teachers program, and you know, to allow teachers to you know, to have a program that would produce teachers that could teach in you know, both public and private schools in Canada. And this same part of the community covenant was disputed, and it went all the way to the Supreme Court. The British Columbia College of Teachers claimed that Trinity Western, which had never had any actual claims of discrimination, no student, and they've had gay students, but none has come forward and said that, you know, this is, you know, the university has discriminated against me or anything like that. So the Supreme Court of Canada in 2001 ruled that Trinity Western was, you know, that there was no reason they couldn't have a Christian teaching program that would produce teachers that could be objective and teach students in any school in Canada. So it was really a fairly sweeping decision that they issued in 2001. And so in regards to why Trinity Western would be surprised, I don't know that they're necessarily all that surprised, given the day and age that we live in, but they are on very firm legal ground, not only because of the 2001 decision, but in 2005, when Canada approved or legalized gay marriage legally, there was some very specific language that carved out not only exemptions for pastors being forced to perform gay marriages, but also, I'm going to read a little excerpt from you, for you. In the Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms, it specifically guarantees all Canadians the freedom of conscience and religion. And Canada's Civil Marriage Act of 2005 specifically cites that Section 2 of the Charter and says that, you know, for the purposes of marriage, the rights of conscience and freedom of conscience and religion apply to this issue of marriage. And it says, quote, "For greater certainty, no person or organization shall be deprived of any benefit or subject to any obligation or sanction," which is essentially what people are, you know, this lawsuit is saying, that, you know, Trinity Western, based on its opposition to same-sex marriage, should not be able to, you know, fully participate in society. Or, quote, "the expression of their beliefs in respect of marriage as the union of man and woman to the exclusion of all others." So really, you've got a very straightforward, you know, statement in the law that directly deals with the situation. And so I think what the courts will be forced to decide is, does the law mean what it says? Does this still apply, or is there going to be a new, you know, are they going to overturn this, basically?
You know, it it does seem to put them in the school in a very difficult position, because they want to seek accreditation for all the reasons that you just mentioned. The students are coming there, obviously, not just to go through the school, but eventually to come out and be able to get a job. So in order to have a job, you've got to go to an accredited school so that the training that you've received is validated by the workforce that you're trying to get the job in. And so they need to have that accreditation for that reason. And yet they're being told that you can't have the accreditation unless you accept gay marriage as part of your program. You have to sign on to that. If you don't sign on to that, then we're not giving you the accreditation. And so, you know, this is what it could come down to. We'll see how it all works out legally, which really speaks to the broader issue again that we keep seeing. And I think that this is where it relates to so many other stories, especially stories that are coming now for us here in the U.S., where we are finding the erosion of the free exercise of religion. You can believe whatever you want to believe as long as you just keep it to yourself. But for actually being able to compete in the marketplace of ideas, actually being a part of this society, you will believe what we tell you to believe, especially on this issue. You will believe that gay marriage is just as valid as heterosexual marriage. And if you don't, then we will exert measures of coercion. We will force you to do this. We'll force you to bake that cake. We'll force you to take that picture. We'll force you to put those flowers together. And in this case, we will force you as a school to go out of business unless you believe in that. Is that overstating it at all?
No, it's really not. I mean, the scope of what we're seeing is really, I don't think we even realize the scope. There's a move to make, to define religious freedom, not just in Canada, but certainly in the U.S. as well, to define religious freedom as something that is only applicable within the church. So within the walls of the church, you can say anything, you can do anything, but outside of that, you are not allowed to, you know, to allow your opinions, your beliefs, even deeply held religious beliefs, to affect the way you behave in the public square. You must conform, or there will be consequences. Mm-hmm. And I think this, we're seeing this increasingly. Recently, you know, I'm here in Washington, I'm reporting on Capitol Hill, and recently I was speaking with someone who works in the a Christian who works in the Department of Justice. And this person was saying that no longer can you be neutral on these issues.
No.
The Department of Justice has actually handed down a memo that says they can't, if you are involved in a conversation with say a fellow gay employee, or you hear someone else in a conversation, you can't just ignore that conversation about their, you know, their recent marriage or their you know, anything about their lifestyle. You are obligated to confirm and affirm the lifestyle and what they're saying, or you will be disciplined.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, this is a real, I mean, these are real life decisions that Christians today, currently in the U.S.
Yeah, I hope people
are having to make.
I want to underscore that. You just mentioned that a DOJ memo that was passed around said that you can no longer remain neutral on this issue. This is where the new tolerance is at now. The new tolerance is not the, you know, live and let live, and, you know, if somebody wants to live that type of lifestyle, you know, that's up to them, that's between them and God, and, you know, let's just leave it at that. That was the old tolerance. That was the old definition that we were working under. The new tolerance says that you are required now to not only embrace it as being legitimate, but you must endorse it as well. And your silence, you can't just say, yeah, okay, well, I'm going to go to work. I'm not getting involved in this. I'm just putting my head down and doing my job. No, not anymore. you being quiet there on the job is a tacit statement or some sort of a statement of disagreement with what is being said, and that is no longer allowed. You must speak up affirmatively about gay marriage, otherwise you're viewed as being a bigot and a hater and somebody that's not going to be in the workplace. So this is where we're going. Remember what the dissenting Supreme Court justice said. I think it was Scalia. But when this was all brought up, much of this brought up before this U.S. Supreme Court, he wrote that the court was seeing people that were against gay marriage as being, quote, enemies of the human race, unquote. I mean, that is chilling. This is not just, you know, a couple guys sitting around having a coffee and one of them says, you know, I think the guy's an enemy of the human race. If you don't, this is the highest court in the land. And the Supreme Court, one of the fellow Supreme Court members is saying that this is the way they're looking at it, that you are an enemy of the human race if you don't subscribe to, endorse, embrace gay marriage. We're living in chilling times here, and I hope that people stand up and realize what you pointed out, JC. There's a huge difference between freedom of worship, and that's the way the president puts it so often now, freedom of worship, and free expression of religion or free exercise of religion. There's a world of difference between those two things, and we need to know what that is and really bring this to the forefront.
That's true. And again, just for people who think they can keep their heads down, you know, those who think, well, I don't work for the government or I live in a conservative area where this doesn't matter. But, you know, over and over again, whether it's Dietrich Bonhoeffer in Germany, you know, talking about the rights that were being taken away and how it will soon affect everyone, to, you know, I'm reminded of the quote of Martin Luther King Jr., who said, "Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere."
Mm-hmm.
For Christians who think that they can just sit this one out, they'll soon discover that you will be made to care.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that that concept that you were just talking about, you know, the idea of that you should, the First Amendment, you know, that we should be able to freely speak about what we believe. We do have some commonality there with even people who don't agree with us on this issue. So we really could zero in on it right there and say, look, listen, we don't want your expression, your freedom of expression, and, you know, freedom of the press and so forth. We don't want that squelched. And if you don't want that squelched, then you should join with us in speaking out against what's taking place in this area. So we may even be able to form, you know, a loose coalition with others who agree with the more basic or foundational points here, as well as gathering the believers together to show them where this is going. In the end, you know, it's starting to get to the point now. It's going to cost you your job to hold to this view. It's at least going to cost you some level of clients or your work or those types of things. It could even cost you your job together, your livelihood. And at some point, I think it's going to cost you your freedom, where they're just going to say, for you to be speaking this way is now against the law, and, you know, you can't do this at all. And maybe at some point, it may even cost you your life. So, you know, we're going down this this track very, very quickly. Your final thoughts,
yeah.
JC?
Well, I would just add that you're exactly right in terms of the loose coalition that may be, you know, and really an odd coalition that may be developing. Yeah, as most of your listeners probably know, there's been a recent issue with the CEO of Mozilla.
Yes.
Being fired. Well, he actually resigned over his donation several years ago of just $1,000 to the Prop 8 initiative that banned gay marriage, and it did succeed. It wasn't even as if he was in a small minority. And that has really raised the attention of some people as well. Andrew Sullivan, who's a huge proponent of same-sex marriage, is now drawing criticism from the gay community because he has stood up and said, you know, what happened to Brendan Heisch, I think is his name, with Mozilla is absolutely wrong. And there really is, what you said earlier, it's really, really, really shocking, basically, how things have shifted so much. And what used to be trumpeted by the left, the liberals, was, you know, live and let live. And now it is the right, who's conservatives, are the ones sticking up for, you know, freedom of speech and religion in a variety of different areas.
Mm-hmm.
Just this morning, in regard to the Trinity Western issue, I read a great column by Margaret Wendt for the Globe and Mail there in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And she talks about how you know, this has really gotten to an insane point. She said, let's see, which poses a bigger threat to Canada, a small Christian university that endorses traditional ideas about marriage, or a large group of liberal activists who want to stomp all over them?
Mm-hmm.
That's easy, the Christians.
Yeah.
And she goes on to talk about how the society is just brutally silencing anyone who disagrees with them.
Yeah, it was started with just marginalization. Now it's turning to muzzling completely. And, you know, I think that's the ultimate objective. And it's something that we need to understand what the issues are and then speak out about it whenever we can and talk about the broader issues that are at stake here. JC, thanks so much for writing this article and for the work you guys do there at World Mag. We really appreciate all your efforts.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Okay. That was JC Derrick. We were talking about a couple of his articles. You can read them both out there at www.worldmag.com. That's www.worldmag.com. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk about a couple of the issues that we hear, or terms that we hear in the news so much today. In fact, it was in the news again just yesterday in the news, but we're talking about the issues of depression. We're talking about the issue of bipolar disorder. We're talking about the issues related to antidepressants. Do they work? And so forth. We'll talk to Dr. Charles Hodge in just a moment.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.